Dark Wraith Publishing presents the Illinois State Collegiate Compendium, Academic Lectures in Business and Economics. This is Business Finance, FIL 240, Section 3 for Spring Semester 2014. Lecture 22, delivered on April 15, 2014. The title of this lecture is Working Capital Management Policy.
Today, working capital policy. We are rapidly approaching the end of what material I could teach you. I don't know. I know you'll want to be here on Thursday, but I got to figure out how I'm going to I know what I'm going to do. So let me get this little cowboy started here. This is there's some math in this, but it's mostly just a conceptual thing. How companies deal with their working capital. And every company actually has a working capital policy. Although I do know that there are companies that don't think they do.
Yeah.
Running out of my markers and doing so well here. Short class. Okay. Somewhere along the line, you might have heard an old rule of thumb. You finance short-term assets with short-term debt. You finance long-term assets with long-term debt. So when you would not get a loan, a 20-year loan, to go to Walmart to buy your usual gourmet dinner. It just wouldn't make sense. Not that that dinner won't last in your memories for 20 years, but it's a short-term asset. So you're not going to finance it with 20-year debt. That just doesn't make sense. But at the same time, the idea that we should never use long-term financing for short-term assets, or vice versa, use short-term financing for long-term assets, isn't so great either. Here's the deal. Working capital is a fancy way of saying your current assets. Working capital is saying current assets. Those assets that are going to be used within a year. Your more liquid assets. Net working capital is your current assets minus your current liabilities. Now here's a dilemma that companies face. Your bondholders, the people to whom you owe debt, are going to want you to have big working capital, a lot of cash. They want to be paid, so they're going to say, don't go burning that cash up because that's you can pay your bills with that, you can pay us with that. So they're going to want the company to have a nice fat working capital, but working capital is actually costly. What is sitting on your shelves, your inventory? What is sitting in a short-term bank account? Your accounts receivable, those are costing you money. The old rule in a retail store, I remember years ago one of the retailers said, if it ain't on the shelves, it ain't going to sell. And he wants to get that stuff sold as quickly as possible. So, and then, of course, your accounts receivable. I sold you an incredible work of art, and you were going to pay me down the road, so I've got an accounts payable. Oh, that's not money now, and I need dinner tonight. Denny's, Grand Slam Breakfast, the $8 one with the extra hash browns. Oh, I'm kind of hungry. So that accounts payable isn't doing you any good. That's not money. And even your cash, that cash and marketable securities, you've got those in very low interest bearing accounts. Money in your checking. You got some money in your checking account? Thank you, Al. The fact of the matter is, how much interest do you make on that? Lots and lots. Do they pay you like 15% interest compounded quarterly? No. They pay you diddly squat on that. money that you can have right away is not going to make hardly any interest. And petty cash, that money in the lower drawer that you can pull out to spend quickly for something, that's not paying you interest at all. So working capital, the bondholders want you to have lots of it, but the more of it you have, the more it's going to cost you, the opportunity cost is going up for you. So that's the dilemma that corporations face. They don't want a lot of working capital, excess. They don't want an excess of it. The bondholders, they certainly do, especially that working capital component called cash. This is the part that I understood it when I was doing business classes and in grad school, but it really began to hit home when I actually did ran companies that had stuff to sell. In your, let's say, here are your current assets. You see, they are not what I just drew here. They are not. They're not a block on a balance sheet. They look like a block on a balance sheet, but that hides something interesting about working capital. Your working capital actually is a wave that goes up and down. There is a base that always seems to be there, a value, and it's not an actual physical thing, but a value that doesn't disappear. To give you an example, in my own business, I was actually looking at this so I can do this lecture. I found that there's always about $500 of inventory. Now, it's not the same inventory every month or even every year. Obviously, it changes. But there always seems to be about $500 worth of stuff. But then there is this other part that ebbs and flows. If I look at it one month, I'll have a very high value of current assets. Look at it another month, and it won't be that high, but it never goes below a certain amount. And then it begins to recover like this. So there's this wave that's actually happening here. This is called, this piece right here, that's called your temporary. Current assets. These are permanent. I meant to say permanent here. And these are temporary current assets. It's seasonal. Now, most companies, that what's happening is that that temporary part is very high in the summer. And into the fall. And then, as the Christmas season comes along, they draw down, and more, and the working capital base, the current assets, begin to fall as they get it to the shelves and they sell it. And then, after the Christmas season, it begins to build back up again as they go towards the spring and summer months. And there are also minor fluctuations. Companies actually study the fluctuations, some companies do, to see how, if this is a simple waveform or if it's complex. In my case, the definite thing is that the trough, when I'm drawing down my working capital, the balance sheet number is getting smaller and smaller, begins in late April, and then as the summer festivals come along, it goes down and down. It never seems to go below about $500 that's sitting there on the balance sheet that isn't sold. But then after the season is over, in about the end of September or so, then it begins to come back up again, and it rides the wave back up. And there is a little bit of a dip again for me at the Christmas season too. But it's a complex form. It's not like what you see on a balance sheet where you think, well, they're just working capital. It kind of ebbs and flows. That creates an interesting issue in itself, managing that moving, that fluctuating working capital. Here's what companies can do. There are three strategies that are that companies can pursue in this regard. The one is called aggressive. And every company has one, whether they know it or not. Some companies, smaller companies, I've had them say, well, we never really thought about it. But if you look at their financing structure, yeah, they do have a working capital policy. Now, the aggressive working capital policy style is you use short-term debt. Now, remember, short-term debt is actually more expensive than long-term debt. Short-term debt can be pretty darn costly. For example, you get that 30-day loan at Monster Pawn. That's a stupidly expensive loan. But if you got a loan from the bank, it would be a lower cost when it would be a longer-term loan. Back in one of my old neighborhoods when I was living in New York City, there was a guy who would lend you money for 30 days. His dad's name was Guido. And it was an aggressive financing terms, and their collection policy was surprisingly effective, if painful, for late debt payments. I bet you about $35 late fee on a credit card. Boy, that was nothing compared to what those guys would do. Anyway, short-term debt. It's expensive, but it's flexible. And what they'll do with short-term debt is they are going to finance all of their permanent current assets and their temporary current assets. They're going to do it that way. And essentially, it would be, in this way, it would be a line of credit kind of trick. They would go to a bank and say, look, we build inventory at part of the year, so we're going to draw down this line of credit. And then as you start making money off that stuff that you've made, you pay down the line of credit. Those line of credits are great. Banks are willing to work with you on them. The downside is that that money is expensive. It's like credit card debt. In my case, I have a working capital management thing that I can do with my bank, but the interest rate on it is 14%. If I draw on that line of credit, it's 14% money. So, but it also allows me to be able to just go out there, grab those current assets that are going to be sold off very quickly, and then I can get rid of them, and then I can pay the debt off when I've sold them. And I also would use that, if I were aggressive, I would also use that to finance that base of assets that I use, that are always there, about $500. Even though I didn't think about it, I just actually, when I was looking at my financials for this class today, I realized I'm doing aggressive because that line of credit is including that $500 that's just always sitting there. So apparently, and I didn't say I'm going to follow aggressive working capital management policy, but there it is. I'm financing all my temporary assets on it, and I'm financing that base $500 that's there right now. Right now, my inventory is at its peak. And if I look at how much I have on that line of credit with the bank, yeah, it's got the whole of the inventory that I'm going to sell. And it's got that $500. It's the sum of that line of credit is my working capital. I didn't know that. And I might want to try to change that a little bit because that base is going to be there, $500 is going to be there forever, or at least for a long time. It'll probably grow over time a little bit. Okay. Now, the other side is what's called conservative. Well, we're getting close to the end of this one. You might have to just sort of imagine that that's their conservative. Well. Conservative, you use long-term debt to finance everything. Not just your current assets, but your fixed assets as well. Long-term, remember it's cheaper, and it finances temporary current, permanent current, and your fixed assets, the long-term assets. It finances everything long-term debt does. So in other words, with this working capital policy, I would sell, let's say, a 20-year bond. And then what I would do is I would use that bond to buy all my fixed assets, plant and equipment, all that. And I would also use it to buy my permanent current assets, that amount of money that would always be there in the current assets part of the balance sheet. And I use that to buy the temporary assets, the ones that I'm going to sell off within a couple of months. This one's actually a little tougher to do because, in a way, what you have to do is predict your peak on this thing here. See this? You would have to be able to predict, okay, 20 years, I'm going to borrow money for 20 years. It's going to pay all my fixed assets, which are predictable. This is what I'm going to buy. This is what I'm going to pay for. It's going to pay for your current, your permanent current assets, which you can find out from looking at your balance sheet. You know, figure out how much money is always kind of sitting there in current assets. That it doesn't, that's not bad. But this one, you're using long-term money to forecast, okay, how much am I going to build up this temporary thing that I'll burn and sell off and use within a year? That might not be so easy to do. If you suddenly, let's say, well, give you my business. If I know how much I sold last year, okay, of inventory. In terms of cost of goods sold, it would probably have been on the order of about $4,000. Okay, so I could borrow $20,000, buy my fixed assets with it, buy the $500 worth of current assets, and then use the rest to finance $4,000. But what happens if I have a better year this year? What happens if after a couple of art shows, I realize I've sold a lot more than I thought, and I have to go back to build more before I even set foot on the next show? In other words, what happens if the trough, suddenly, it's like this. So that means that I would have to not just forecast fixed and permanent current, which are easy, but I will also have to forecast more than just, well, what did I spend last year that I used up last year? It would come down to, what do I think I'm going to do next year? And that is where you're looking in the crystal ball that we've done before in this class, talking about probability theory and expected values and all that. And long term, once you've borrowed the money, you can't go back and, that 20-year bond, can I add a little more to that 5 months later? I'm not going to work. So this one, you get the idea I'm saying here, is that once you've borrowed by issuing a 20-year bond, you can't go back and grab more money. You're stuck with that amount of money as what you are going to use for all of your assets. So that means that you're going to have to predict what's going to this excess up here on the temporary. There's an intermediate one, which is called the moderate. Now you think, well, that's the one, obviously, that everyone should use. Not really, because the moderate, I wrote a note here on the number that I would, okay. Moderate, long-term debt finances your fixed assets and your permanent current only. You use short-term debt to finance your temporary. That would mean that your short-term debt, you would use long-term debt. Okay, I know what my fixed assets are going to be that I need to borrow. And I also, let's say, I'm going to need $8,000 on a long-term debt instrument. And I've also, for my fixed assets, okay, my permanent inventory seems to sit at about $500. That's $8,500. That's what I would borrow long term. And then The rest of it I would do on a line of credit, one of those working capital cash management accounts at the bank, and do it on that. That sounds easy to do. It actually isn't that much easier than the other way, because the bank is going to say, all right, line of credit. What do you want for your line of credit? Okay, I'm going to finance only my temporary working capital on this line of credit, short-term debt. Okay, the bank's going to say, how much do you need? Again, we're back in this problem right here, though. You see, because I can't say, well, last year I needed $4,000, so this year I'll need $4,000. You're going to have to ask for probably more than that. Okay, let me go to $6,000. Well, what's wrong with that? The bank will just extend $6,000. If you don't use it all, that's fine. Except that the more you ask on the line of credit, the higher the last dollar, the higher the interest on the last dollar you charge. So you can't just say, well, why don't you issue me $10,000, even though that would be unrealistic. You can't do that. Well, you can do that, but the bank's going to say, okay, that's fine. We, on a $10,000 line of credit, we have an interest rate of 14%. But if you were to ask only for $6,000, that would be 12%. $4,000, that would be 8%. So by padding for the possibility that you're going to have to build more temporary assets than you thought, you are also going to pay more on the whole amount that you borrow, because they're extending you a bigger line of credit. So you're kind of back in the same situation you were with the long-term debt. You still have to forecast. You have to think about what you're doing. Which one do companies do? I thought I could find this information. What is the working capital management policy of different companies around the country? It's not as easy, you know, you think, well, there's so many services that do financial analysis that this one would be easy to do. Interestingly enough, the one place where I found companies telling what their working capital management policy was is in the MD&A. Remember that thing that I told you about in the financial statements, the 10K, that management discussion and analysis? Almost every company actually in that document somewhere at least mentions its working capital management policy. And it was the only place in most cases I could find any discussion of the company's working capital management policy. So what I found, I'll be honest with you, I looked at only five companies. I just furiously looking as fast as I could. I found five companies. Interestingly enough, young, aggressive companies that are more high-tech oriented, that was what was going on. It was the aggressive one. They were financing lots of their stuff on short-term debt with the intention, and they said this in their MD&As, that they wanted the flexibility of this policy. They wanted to be able to move fast on new projects. They wanted to be able to change their inventory levels very quickly. If they brought new products online, or they had a surge of buying of their product lines and things like that, they were aggressive. They pretty much financed a ton of stuff, their working capital, temporary and permanent working capital, on short-term debt. Which also, interestingly enough, made it look like these companies, when you look at their financial statements, they look like they're really low on debt, long-term debt, none. Well, it's because they're not using long-term debt, they're using expensive short-term debt. So that's something that's sort of a warning about that debt to total assets ratio that might hide rather steep debt a company has, but it's up there in the current liabilities, not down there in the long-term liabilities. So that means that you have to be careful about looking at that long-term debt to assets ratio, because it might be hiding a considerable amount of risk and expensive capital the company is using to move forward with projects. The manufacturing companies, they were pretty much all moderate, the two I looked at. pretty much all. The two that I looked at that were manufacturing, they were moderate. And that kind of makes sense. They're older, longer surviving companies, and they know, they've got tons of data. Their companies are not going to change, have massive changes in their inventory levels or in their accounts receivable. They have much more predictable structures and sales and all that kind of stuff. So they just, pretty much the long-term debt handles long-term stuff, more the classic model, and short-term debt handles the quick money that they need. And if they're the bigger companies, they will use a kind of short-term debt that I had mentioned before. Do you remember I talked about commercial paper? That seems to be their short-term debt instrument of choice, is commercial paper. We need money for just a little while to finance temporary assets, short-term commercial paper. They just pump it out, and then they pay it off in 30 days when the need has passed. They build stuff, and then when they've built it, they sell it, and then they just pay off the commercial paper that they've issued 30 days before. So the big industrial companies, moderate. The younger high-tech companies are aggressive. The conservative, I didn't see those, and I'm not sure, I can't tell you exactly what kinds of companies would follow the conservative model. I don't know. That it would be harder to see. They probably, some companies say, well, we do this kind. They wouldn't say, we use conservative working capital policy management. They wouldn't say that, but their explanation would point you to this. I didn't see any of them giving an explanation that looked like this. And so I'm wondering if you'd have to just plow their financial statements to figure out if they were doing this one in the middle. It's a little easier to see this one just looking at the financial statements. That's all I have for you today. Thank you.